Hello and welcome back to another episode of It's Just a Phase with Char and
Joe.
How you doing this evening?
Good. We're a week late, so it feels good to be back here recording.
That's yeah, for sure. Life has gotten so busy these last couple weeks.
It's like summer starting early. Usually it's just summer that's like this, and it's only March.
I know, I was just thinking about our group chat of trying to have another play date for the kids, and it's like we can't figure out a date that works for everybody because this next month, again, is so busy.
Yes, yeah. I need to respond. I haven't responded yet because April is crazy for us, so it's not going to work for us, but I want everybody to still do it. So what's going on with life?
So I actually have been home this whole week. It's my spring break. Ooh. And me and the kiddos just had kind of a staycation. We had something planned every day to get out of the house.
Nice. That's awesome.
And I really, really enjoyed it. Yes. Like, I really enjoyed, I mean, the days, don't get me wrong, today I'm exhausted. Yes. It was a lot, but I was so happy to have that time with them.
Yeah. You know, make you excited for summer.
Yeah.
So if you're new to the podcast, Charlotte's a teacher, a high school teacher, so... That's super exciting that you get those times. But I love about it, too, especially with this podcast, is you're like a hybrid of a working mom and a stay-at-home mom. You know what I mean? Like, you get to see both points of view, which I think is really interesting.
And I love it, too, because I get to get that little glimpse of being a stay-at-home mom, but I also get to go back to work next week, which I love. But, like, I just love that I get my summers off and I get, like, the best times of the year to be with my kids and do that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So. And I love having a backup babysitter for the summer.
Yeah, so if anyone's in need this summer, just give me a call. Yes.
My life update. So before this, I did a Target run. And Jordy is, like, he can still fit in 5T stuff, but it's, like, awkwardly fitting on him. So we have had to move across the aisle to little boys, and clothes are just not as cute there. So that sucks.
There's nowhere dinosaurs on skateboards.
Yes, exactly. Right? It's just, you know, I read that that was going to be a tough switch. And it wasn't tough. It's just like, I still want to go on the other side.
Yeah. It's just like another one of those realizations, like, my kid is getting older. Yes. They are growing up.
Yes.
Ugh. I know. Sad. Gross.
So last weekend, we were going to maybe record, but we had girls' weekend, so that was exciting.
Yeah, talk about another, it was tough to plan, don't get me wrong. Yes. It was not pulling teeth, everybody wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But to try to find a day that works for seven people, is there seven of us?
I believe so.
Is almost impossible. And there was a couple that could not make it. Our friend Carol just had baby boy Tom, so welcome to the world, baby Tom. So she obviously couldn't be there. We had a friend on vacation, but we made sure to include them.
Yep.
I know Marissa sent out a message in the group chat to tell us to have fun, and we ended up FaceTiming Carol so we could hear her birth story.
Yes.
So
it was fun. I love sharing birth stories, too. It's so different for everyone that I just love hearing it, especially, like, hers. She went into a, 37-week doctor appointment and then was basically told, you have high blood pressure, get to the hospital. Like,
right.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't.
Imagine. I know. And then hearing her story too, it's like it takes you back to when you were a first-time mom and you had no idea what you were about to get yourself into.
Yes.
So you hear all the fears and you hear all the, like, concerns Carol has. And now that I'm on the other end of it, I think we've all been like, it's going to be okay.
Mm.
But that also kind of gave us this idea to do this episode this week. Like, let's talk about the newborn phase and how crazy it truly is. Because I think as a new mom, I remember being in Carol's shoes and looking at all my friends and like, oh, they just got it together.
Yep.
They make it look so easy. And I remember being in the thick of it. And I think it would be helpful with some experienced moms here to give some of that advice.
Yes, I agree. So this session or this episode is all about, I mean, this is kind of like therapy. So
it
is like
a
So this
everyone episode, needs therapy.
Yes. Is about the newborn phase. So Charlotte and I, we're going to talk just briefly about our experiences. We're going to play a fun game of this or that. If you're a TikToker, you've probably seen it. And then we're going to wrap it up with some of, we asked you guys, what some of the best and worst advice you received. And we're going to talk about some of that. We got some really good ones. So I'm excited of all the people that wrote in. So what were your birth and newborn experiences like with Sebastian and Nico?
So, I'm going to start off with saying both of my kids were planned. And I don't mean that to come off as the wrong thing, but I did plan to go into motherhood.
Yeah.
I was ready for that phase in my life. My husband and I had just gotten married, and we decided right after we got married, we were going to try to get pregnant.
And it worked right when you decided. Yes. Like, you should talk about that, too.
I am a very fortunate soul, and I am a very fertile myrtle. I think with Seb, I went off birth control literally the day after our wedding. I took out my birth control, and I was pregnant by January. Well, we got married at the end of September.
Yeah.
So that's, what, 2-3 months? And with Nico, I got my birth control taken out in December, and I was pregnant by March.
But what I wanted you to talk about is our friend group, we've all had infertility issues. Oh, yes. Trouble getting pregnant, like having to go on medication all the way through IVF. So we were like, just start trying right away. Yep. It's going to take a while. And then here's Charlotte. Freaking
nope. I didn't have any of those.
I just remember feeling so bad because you had your honeymoon booked to Colorado. Yep. That you guys were going to do breweries. And you're like, yep, we're not going to get pregnant before then. And nope, you
yep. weren't. Yeah, so I got pregnant in January of 2020. In March of 2020, we were supposed to go to Colorado for our honeymoon. I had to delay honeymoon because, again, I'm a teacher. I wanted to go over my spring break, so I didn't have to take days off. Well, little did I know the world was going to shut down, so I didn't get my honeymoon. And I went through my pregnancy during COVID. So it was a very different experiences than a lot of moms have. And I think that COVID moms and COVID babies will always have kind of that special bond of, like, they get how isolating it was. Yeah. And how terrifying it was because you didn't know what was happening. I mean, obviously we know now that it's okay, but...
Yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I couldn't imagine.
So I'm going to say I went through pregnancy alone. I had Logan there, but, like, I didn't have my friends. I didn't have my yeah. family around. I was alone all the time. I was induced with Seb. I had a very long, long, long labor. I pushed for a long, long time. And a long
scar to go with it. Not a C-section and scar.
He did some damage. We'll just keep it at that. Yes. So, yeah, Seb was my damager. Worth it. But emotionally after that, there was so much physical recovery. There was a lot yeah. of emotional stuff. So we will do a whole other episode, but I very much dealt with a lot of postpartum depression after I had yeah. Sebastian. And I think so much of it has to do with being a new mom during COVID when I had nobody.
2 hours away from
yes.
your family.
Yeah. So newborn stage was really, really hard for me with Sebby. Fast forward when I had Nico, the best birth experience ever. Mm-hmm. I had a very easy birth with him. He did no damage.
Yeah, you didn't even need a stitch, right?
Nope. Yeah. Easy peasy there, and he is the best baby. Like, yes. the best sleeper. He was the really, really good nurser. Always happy. So it's like I had, my kids were flipped. Yep. Like, you usually think the first one should be the easier, I guess, of the two, and your second, everyone says, is like the wild.
Yeah.
Hard to contain, hard to combat, whatever. The only
thing Nico wants to do is smile at you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just always cheesing.
Takes up his whole face.
My mother-in-law calls it his Chucky smile.
Oh my god. Just like at least he doesn't have red hair like yeah. Jordy. Because he did look like Chucky.
Well, Nico, I also call Tommy Pickles. So if yes. you guys are millennials, you'll get that reference.
Yes, but, yes. So for my newborn experiences, Jordy, I was induced. I went 41 weeks. And then I was induced. And it was pretty, I mean, going at midnight. And I had him by 8:30 in the morning, so I really can't complain. He did a little bit of damage. I needed 2 stitches. Wasn't too bad. Epidural was nice with that. Newborn stage. So when Jordy was 2 weeks old, we moved. And it actually wasn't that bad because I was 2 weeks postpartum. So Alex took care of literally everything. Alex and our friends Nick and Rachel did everything. And it was amazing, except for we moved to the country. So for most of my maternity leave, I had no TV and no internet because it took so long to get it. So that really sucked. And I think that played into some of my postpartum mm-hmm. depression. We both, Charlotte and I both experienced PPD with our first babies. And that's going to be a whole dedicated episode. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to go into that here. But we both did experience that with our first children for different reasons. But it's so... is relatable, obviously. Yeah. Olivia, because I went 41 weeks with Jordy, my OB was like, hey, you you want to have a baby, like, let's just pick your due date and let's just induce you. I'm like, oh, thank you so much for just, like, knowing I'm a planner and I want to know my last day of work and I want to have it all figured out. And we had it planned for February 19th. And Olivia decided that she wanted to come on her own time. And that is so Olivia. Like, she's on nobody else's schedule except for her own. And she came on the, gosh, when's her birthday?
16th.
Yes, thank you. So I went to labor the 15th and had her the 16th. But same thing. I went in, like, the night before, and I had her also by 8:30. So I really can't complain about deliveries
much. I remember we were supposed to have a play date, like, maybe a week before you had Olivia. And I remember you texting, sorry to be graphic, but you were like, I can't get out of the bathroom. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cancel. I couldn't get out of the bathroom. And I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, Jolene, it's a sign that your body's getting ready for labor.
Yes.
And you're like, God, I hope so.
It was. Olivia, for 2 weeks, I could not get off the toilet. Like, I just had the Hershey squirts and it was just.
So if you're nearing the end of your pregnancy and you end up in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a sign. Yes. Okay, now we're going to play some this or that. So basically, one of us is going to read off like two things and you say what you did.
Yeah. And these are all related to things that occurred during the newborn phase or infancy, whatever.
Okay, so let's start with like delivery stuff. Home birth or hospital?
I had both of my children in a hospital.
Same, both hospital. I wish we were in maybe a bigger city where home births are more, maybe they are easier to do around here than what I think, but just the idea of going through all the work of planning it, I was like, no, I'm not doing
this. I 100% would be open to doing a home birth.
Yeah.
Maybe not for my first.
Agreed.
But for if I were to have a third, I would definitely put it as a priority if I could make it work,
Yeah, I agree. Epidural or no epidural?
So with Sebi, I was so stubborn and I was like, I'm going to do this as long as I possibly can without drugs and I'm hoping I can have a natural birth. I ended up with the epidural.
Mm-hmm.
Nico, I remember going into labor at home and by the time we got to the hospital, another story for another day, but Logan, let's just say, took his sweet time getting me to the hospital. He drove like a grandpa. The one day of the year that he actually drove like a grandpa.
Yes.
And I walked into the emergency room like, get me the drugs.
Yes. And were you able to have them?
Yeah.
Perfect.
But it's just like, I felt like time just stopped when I got to the hospital because I was in so much pain. But yes, like that was top priority when I got in my room. And I was like, get this going.
With both of my kids, as soon as I got to the hospital, I looked at the nurse and I said, if I don't get the epidural because I am too dilated, I will never forgive you. When I can get it, you give it to me. I am not trying to do this without drugs. So, hey, at least you tried to go without.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to try to tough it out.
My labor with Sub was just so long and taking forever. I'm glad I did the epidural because it sped things up. With Nico, oh, my God, the amount of pain. It was just. And I think I was 5 centimeters when I got to the hospital.
Okay, I think that's about what I was with Olivia, too, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, those contractions, man. Thank God for the epidural.
Yeah.
Vaginal or C-sections?
Vaginal for both of mine.
Yep, same. And the question I'm all, like, expecting moms want to know. Did you poop or puke or anything?
Pooped with Seb.
Uh-huh.
No poop with Nico, but I puked a lot with... Actually, I puked with both boys, but I remember puking a lot after I delivered Nico.
Oh, after you delivered, you puked.
Yep.
With Jordy, I pooped during delivery. With Olivia, I puked, but it was right after I got the epidural. And I think that's why they make you not eat once you're in the hospital, because I had just eaten dinner, like, what, 6 hours before then?
Right.
More than that, but, you know, and yeah, it just all came up. Let's see. We've got another minute. Okay. Formula or breastfed?
I breastfed both babies.
I did, with Jordy 50-50, breast milk and formula. And Olivia, I breastfed and pumped for like 4 weeks. And then I'm like, here's the formula, baby girl. diapers. What brand of diapers?
We did Pampers for Seb and Nico does Kirkland.
See, and my kids are opposite. Jordy, Target brand, up and up all day, every day. Olivia gets a rash. Mm-hmm. She's my sensitive girl, so I have to buy the expensive Pampers. Yeah. But
But let me tell you guys, if you can make the off-brand work,
do it. So worth it. You save literally hundreds.
Usually off-brand are made by
the on-brand anyways. Exactly.
Swaddle or sleep sack?
Ooh, we tried swaddling with both and ended up going with sleep sack. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think both boys were swaddled probably the first 6 weeks, and then we kind of, like, weaned them off into a sleep sack. But, like, Nico, I know, I remember, just because he's younger, he loved his swaddle.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Or Seb, not so much.
Yep.
Crib or bassinet after you brought baby home from the hospital?
Yep. Both of my kids, I was very adamant on first night home from the hospital, you're in your crib. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you sleep in your crib for 5 minutes or 5 hours, you will be in your crib. And neither of them slept long in there, but I just wanted them getting used to it. I will also say we have a small house where our bedroom is right next to both of the kids' rooms. What about you?
I had both boys in bassinet right next to me. I was also nursing too. I mean, I know you nursed in the early days too, but I also had a 2-story house with both experiences. Yeah. And I will say I might have been more open to the crib in the other room if I had to go one room over.
Yeah,
and there
exactly.
was no stairs involved.
Yeah.
I think that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. One that we don't have on our list, but I'm going to ask, sound machine or no sound machine?
Oh, sound machine, 100%.
Yeah. Same, that white noise. Yep. It's seriously, if you have a newborn who isn't sleeping well, get a sound machine.
Seb is 3.5 and we still have a sound machine.
Jordy's 6.
Yeah.
And he just asked us if we could not have the noise on like a few months ago.
I'm also 30, what am I, 32?
Yes.
I still sleep with a fan on.
You do? Yes. On
like,
Girls
I
Weekend,
like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Girls Weekend, Charlotte and I usually share a bed. And if there's not a fan, she puts on her fan app. So.
Logan turned me on to white noise while I'm sleeping. Before I met Logan, I slept in pure silence. And now that ever since I've been with Logan, I can't.
Well, thanks, Logan. I put this one on here kind of as a joke. Did you prefer snap jammies or zip jammies?
Anybody who buys snap jammies is wasting their time.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry, Linda.
Yes. I was telling her my mother-in-law. I have a great relationship with my mother-in-law. I think I said it before. And she buys the kids very cute clothes, but they're usually snaps. And my thing to her is always, thank you. It's adorable. I'll wash it and hang it up. And when you're here, if you want to put the baby in it, feel free. But I'm not doing all those flipping snaps.
Yeah. Maybe when they're itty bitty and they don't move around a whole lot, it's not the worst, but like
Olivia right now, I couldn't imagine. I literally have to like
Nico's like WWE wrestling.
Yes. I literally sit on Olivia.
Yep.
Like legitimately. Mm-hmm. Oh, that girl is crazy.
That's a whole nother.
Yes. And the last one is bottle warmer or microwave?
I was always more of a bottle warmer.
Were you? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm lazy. I was microwaver. Yep. I pop it in the microwave, shake it up, get all the heat bubbles out of
it. Well, with Seb, I was always like, oh my God, you can't put breast milk in the microwave. You can. It's not ideal. Nico, I was much more open to it, though, but I nursed so much more with Nico. He didn't I didn't really have to do that, but yeah, I always just did a bottle warmer.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
And that's the moral of that, this or that, is seriously whatever works. Charlotte and I have a lot that were the same, a lot that are different. A lot of the questions on here, like vaginal or C-section, it's not your choice sometimes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we both have happy, healthy kids. So these questions, it really doesn't matter the answer to.
And I think that can go into some of the best advice I think both of you and I have gotten as parents is, everybody's so different. You need to do what works for you and your family.
Yep, that's a really, really good point. Mm-hmm. It's not that, hey, they should be in the crib the first night, or hey, they should be in the bassinet.
Yep.
It's, do you have a 2-story house? Do you have a 1-story house? Is your child, did they have to stay in the NICU a little bit? Did they, you know what I mean? There's so many. So at the end of the day, again, there's some advice, and we're going to get to some really good advice that works for everybody. But nothing's going to work for everyone.
Yeah, so take everything that we say and what other people have said with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And again, I can't stress enough, and especially I just keep thinking about our friend Carol, who's so brand new into being a mom. Keep doing what's working for you guys.
Yes.
Listen to everything that we're saying, absorb it a little bit, and then pick and choose what you want to incorporate into your lifestyle.
Yeah. And it's very much trial and error.
Yeah.
I mean, you try one thing, like bottles, brand of bottles, trial and error. You just got to see what the baby's going to eat.
Yep.
Like, what are they going
to
take?
What do they want to latch on to?
Yes. So, thank you everybody who told us best and worst advice. I cannot believe how many people message us saying the worst advice was sleep when the baby sleeps. Why the hell are people still saying that?
I don't know. And I think out of all of the stuff that we got in, literally that was the almost all the worst ones that were said.
Yeah.
Sleep when the baby sleeps.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What a crock of crap.
I love the memes that are like, and do laundry when the baby does laundry, and do dishes when the baby does dishes. Which reminds me, Carol texted our group chat, and she was like, oh my God, I'm about to wash bottles for the 15th time today. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, don't miss that. No. Don't miss that.
No. But that leads me into some good advice that we got from another person, from Crystal in our friend group, about communication with your spouse. And assigning tasks. Like, I remember, this is actually isn't about assigning tasks, but I just remember once I made some comment to Alex about doing the bottles or something, and he was like, what do you mean? That's all I do are the bottles. Do you ever clean the bottles? I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you ever clean the bottles? And it was just that, yeah, both of us were cleaning the bottles, like, 2 to 3 times a day, and we didn't even realize the other one was doing
right.
it. But that's how many dirty bottles there are. And communication is so key.
And I think it's really hard when you're in those first couple of weeks because you're in such a fog because of the sleep deprivation that you, I think temporarily you forget how to communicate with your partner. So I think when Crystal sent that in, and yes, we're naming Crystal saying that because it was such good advice, take a step back and think to your, or sit with your spouse or your partner, whoever, and say, here's what I'm going to do today. Here's what I need you to help me with.
Yes.
You know?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I do think, I mean, I would hope for majority of new dads, they want to help. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them just don't know what to do.
Right.
You just have to tell them, I want you to do this.
Yes.
I want you to do that. You know, you have to give them the opportunity to be involved and do things.
And I think for new dads and just dads in general in those first couple of weeks, if you are a mom who's breastfeeding, that right there, and I know Crystal said this in her advice, that right there is really overwhelming for dads too, because then they feel helpless.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really natural for us moms to just try to do all the things. And no dad, I don't think a majority of dads want you to sit there and take on everything. They do want to help. It's just, again, that communication piece of how you're going to distribute those tasks that need to get done. Because you're right, the dishes have to get done. The laundry has to get done.
But not the second.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's like, it can pile up a little bit.
Yep. And if you are someone out there who has a newborn at home, I just met a really good friend of mine. They just had a little baby. She's 6 weeks old. And we just sat there, and I just got to hold her. And I told the parents, and I just said, it's okay to just sit here and take those contact naps. You can't spoil the newborn.
Yes.
You know, so that's another piece of advice, too, is you're never going to get those days back.
Yes.
They are not going to sleep on your chest forever. Take those first couple of weeks, the first month, and just be a potato with them.
Yep. I remember for the first 2 weeks, I let myself do all the contact naps I wanted. And then after that, I let myself do it once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is terrible advice. Don't do this, but I did it. Sometimes that was the best nap I got is when my child was napping on me. Again, bad advice. They say don't do it, but do it. It feels so good.
My pediatrician used to tell me to sit in the recliner.
Okay, perfect. Yes.
Again, listen to your pediatrician.
Yes,
exactly. Or any other professionals.
Yes. I got a good advice one. And actually, I got it from two people. One of them is my neighbor, and she said, get a sleep schedule.
Yep.
And I think it's, yes, sleep schedule, just an all-around schedule.
Yep.
Like, this is when baby eats. This is when baby sleeps. This is like... Like, Google is amazing.
Yep.
Google some good routines.
And keep in mind, schedules do fluctuate. So create yourself a schedule that you know can be flexible.
Yes.
This doesn't have to be the military. I very much felt like with Seven, I don't know if you went through this with Jordy, but I felt very attached to our schedule.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, well, this time's coming. We can't do anything. And now with Nico, I'm like, well, I should take a nap here. But I can kind of fudge it, and we can, you know, work around it or do whatever, you know.
But I do think it's part of its age, too.
Yeah.
Like, early on, like, if you want to make good sleep habits, you really should. Like, when you get down to, like, 2 and 3 naps a day, like, they should be in the crib or the bassinet.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? So I do think that in that early stage,
your life does have to take, it doesn't have to take a stop, but I'm just going to say both my kids are pretty darn good sleepers, yep. And for that first, like, 6 to 8 months, we did make sure naps yep. were, like, I guess I shouldn't say the first 6 to 8 months, besides the first month when everything's right. just a shit show.
I would say the first 6 months, though, you're really establishing a good sleep routine.
Yes.
Yep. So, and Logan and I were very much in that same boat with our boys.
Yes.
And I think now that Nico's over one and we're getting down to one nap, there's the flexibility that we're having now. But exactly. You're right, those first few months it was okay, it's 9 o'clock, he's been up for 3.5 hours, I watch those wake windows and I'd be yep. like, yep, it's time for you to go to sleep.
And so. For me, that's what worked the best. I read, oh my gosh, a book, Healthy Sleep, Happy Baby. If you are having sleep problems, I don't care if you didn't even have your baby yet or your baby is a toddler, that book is amazing. I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. Healthy Sleep, Happy Baby. And the big thing that it talks about in there is looking for signs of tiredness. Yep. And when your baby is tired, you put them down mm-hmm. wherever they're going to be sleeping and let them teach themselves to self-soothe to sleep. So you put the baby down when they are awake but tired mm-hmm. and then let them soothe themselves. And
what do they always say? Drowsy but awake.
Yes, that's what it is. Drowsy but awake. Yes.
I remember, like, I don't know when he was, like, 3, 4, 5 months old, and I'm trying to figure this out. And I remember texting Chris, I'm like, what the hell is drowsy but awake? He's always drowsy.
Yes, right. He's either hungry or he's drowsy. Yeah. What the hell? I did like, too, a piece of bad advice that somebody received, and it was... any wait till they are blank statement. So like, oh my gosh, my child's 2, and somebody's like, oh, well, oh yeah, just wait till they're 3. And it's like, and I love that she even said, never helpful and always annoying.
Yep.
And that is so true. Like, there's always going to be something better or worse that's yep. going to happen. Who cares? Deal with what you're going through yep. right now. Don't tell me that it's going to get worse. Nobody wants to hear it's going to get worse when they feel like they're at rock bottom.
Yep. And I said this prior to recording. I told Julie, and I said, I used to hate when people told me to, or it'll get better.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, in the early stages of Seb, I'd call my dad and I'd cry and be like, if one more person tells me this is going to get better. Mm. And my dad still makes a joke out of it today.
Does he?
Like, that's I'll funny. Be frustrated with something with the kids. He goes, well, just remember, it'll get better.
Oh, Chester. But it does bring me also to the name of this podcast. It's just a phase.
Yeah.
Because that's advice that my sister gave to me. So my sister has twins that are like 1.5 years older than my oldest. And I'd call her crying or complaining often, and her advice always was, it's just a phase. And that is mm-hmm. so true. Everything that you're going through is temporary. So you got to just get through it, find out what works, mm-hmm. do the trial and error.
Yep.
You know, what works for you might not work for your best friend, but ask your best friend because it might work a hell of a good, you know yep. what I mean? Like, oh gosh, it's just. Don't try to do it alone, I think, is my yep. advice to, like, reach out to people. I don't care if it's somebody who you haven't talked to in years, but maybe they have a child 6 months ahead of you or something mm-hmm. like that. Excuse me. Reach out. Talk.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yes. Just
find somebody, even if it's a Facebook group, even if it's an Instagram group, ask for help.
Yep.
Ask the questions. We have all been there.
Google it.
Yeah.
I don't know how our parents did it without Google. I think I Googled. I definitely Googled every day
yep.
of the newborn Same. Stage.
And again, you are not alone.
Yes.
We have all been there.
Yes. Anything, feel free to reach out to yeah. us. Yeah. Our personal pages or the podcast page on Instagram. Like,
yeah,
100%. If you don't have anybody, we will be your people.
Yep.
Like, reach out.
And we will listen. We will give advice.
Yes.
We're your soundboard.
And it will always get better. No, I'm just kidding.
And with that, we're going to wrap up this yes. phase.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for tuning in again, everybody. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yep. And happy Easter.
Yes. Goodbye.